Testing 1, 2. Did you enjoy the worship? Let's give the Lord a big hand. Let me just see again. Who's here for the first time tonight? Well, it's a lot of people. Praise God. Who was not here last week when we started with this thing on music? Well, if you're here for the first time, you weren't here last week either, eh? I'm just thinking. No, I'm not. I was asking who was not here last week. But there's like 5 hands going up. But when I asked who's here for the first time, there was like 50. So somewhere there's a problem. Okay. Who was not here last week? Okay. All right. I'm busy with a series on music. And you might wonder to yourself, why would we want to come to church to listen to a series on music? Well, I'm going to put it to you this way. The Bible says in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for somebody to devour, whom you must resist standing firm in your faith. There is this thing out there called the devil. Whether you like it or not, it's immaterial. The Bible says it's real. He's not a fairy tale. He's not a myth. And in some way, you can see him in the same light as a lion walking through a park looking for an animal to devour. In this case, you are the person the enemy wants to devour. And he's got various ways and means of trying to accomplish that. Now, we have to know and understand how the devil works, because if you know and understand how he works, you can protect yourself. We're not weak, we're not defenseless, but the Bible makes one thing very clear. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Hosea chapter 4 verse 6 says, my people. Who is my people? Well, look at your neighbor and say, that's you. Okay, let's get one thing straight. We are not talking about the Satanist. We are not talking about the Buddhist. We are not talking about the one that professes Krishna or something weird like that. We are talking about the people in this room. These people here are destroyed for lack of knowledge. How do you stop the destruction? Get knowledge. Now, there's a lot of knowledge out there that's going to help you nothing. The knowledge God wants you to get is the knowledge in line with His Word to protect yourself and to protect your family. Now, why are we talking about this? Because, here's the thing. The devil has certain things that he can use against us. And he uses that which he has to work with. Now, there was a time when there were 3 archangels in heaven. One we know very well is the angel Michael, who is generally known as the warring angel. When the forces of God mobilize and the devil's butt needs to be kicked, God sends Michael. Michael sorts the problem. Then there is another angel that we are introduced to that is an archangel called Gabriel. He is often referred to as the messenger angel. Oftentimes when God communicated to people, God communicated through Gabriel. But there was this other angel who is no longer in the heavens, because Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. The thing is, when he was up there, he was called Lucifer. When he came down here, his name changed to Satan or the devil. Lucifer had certain giftings. Let me show you a little bit about his giftings. In the book of Isaiah 14 verse 11, which is speaking of Lucifer, it says pertaining to Lucifer the following. Your pomp is brought down to Sheol, and the sound of your stringed instruments. The maggot is spread under you and worms cover you. Oh, how you have fallen, O Lucifer, son of the morning. Now, there's one thing there that is very important. And he goes and he says, the sound of your stringed instruments. When I say to you that there are stringed instruments involved, what do you immediately think of? Okay, the stringed instruments does not refer to the bow and arrow, even though there might be a string involved. It refers to guitars. It refers to violins. How many of you know that a piano is a stringed instrument because there are strings at the back that make the noises? Yeah, pianos, yes, very well. What's again? Harps, yes, harps. Okay. Well, we oftentimes see the picture of the little angel sitting there on the cloud going, twang, 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 you know. The devil, when he was up there, he had the ability to mess around and play with these things. And if you understand what the Bible is trying to show us, these things are part of his makeup. It is who he is. Okay, so yes, we've got the stringed instruments. Now let's look at another scripture, Ezekiel 28 verse 13. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, the topaz, the diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and of your pipes was prepared for you on the day that you were created. There's another two words that's very important to understand how the devil operates. He says, the workmanship of your timbrels and of your pipes. Now, what is a timbrel? It's a very big word, an ancient word used for percussion instruments. What are percussion instruments? Is there anybody here that plays in a band? Nobody. Well, then you just have to trust me. Percussion instruments are drums. Okay, so now the devil, woven into him is all kinds of stringed instruments. Woven into him is drums. But he says, the workmanship of your timbrels and of your pipes. When you think of the pipes, what do you think of? The trumpet, the trombone, the flute. Say again. The saxophone, the bagpipe. You know, you name it, if it works with wind and pipes, the devil can play it. So if you put all of this together, what have you got? You've got an orchestra. What is Satan really? He's a moving orchestra. Now, if he was created for the purpose of making music, don't you think for one second that he's not going to use what comes natural to him to mess with your mind? Well, he would be stupid if he doesn't do that. Now, another interesting scripture pertaining to Satan, if I can quickly go there, Ezekiel 28 verse 11, speaking about the devil again, it says, thus says the Lord God, you were the seal of perfection. Hey, do you hear that? When God finished creating Satan, a one-man band of note, God took a step back and he said, you are perfect. There is not one band down here that is perfect. There is not one musician down here that is perfect. In comparison with Lucifer, everybody down here is ridiculous. But under his influence, a lot of them begin to attain his level of perfection. How do you know when they begin to attain his level of perfection? They begin to exert an enormous amount of satanic influence on people's lives. Because you see, one thing you have to understand about God, the Bible says, Romans 10 verse 9, verse 29 says, for the gift and the call of God are irrevocable. God doesn't give something today and tomorrow he takes it away pertaining to the gifts. The gift of music that is in Satan is still in him. He didn't lose it when he fell from heaven like lightning. He just decided to stop using it for the glory of God. Now he will use it for the destruction of the kingdom of God. If he can make young people rebellious and angry and bitter through music, he's going to do it. If he can make people depressed and down and disheartened and despondent through music, he will do it. If he can cause doubt and confusion and unbelief through music, he will do it. If he can bring division into families through music, he will do it. And you see, those are the things that he loves to do. If he can cause people to commit suicide by listening to certain types of music, he will do it. He's done it before. He will do it again. Now, just to show you something quick. Who was not here last week? This whole row wasn't here last week. I'm going to have to pick on you because I know that you are family of Henny. And I know Henny has a nice nature. You won't clap me, so I trust that none of you will either. There we go. Amen. Eddie, play us the first, any one of those slides, just before you play it. Some of you were here last week, you know where I'm going to go with this. But I want to show you how music can actually program us. You might be sitting here thinking to yourself, oh, this oak has lost the plot. You know, I'm in charge of my own mind. I'm in charge of my own thoughts. I decide where I go, what I do, etc., etc. But the way God made us, music speaks to us. We don't always realize it. And music can change certain things about us. Play the first one for me, just quickly. apparently you all like that one. I see you were like all happy because it's from your era, right? It's like when you still had a ducktail and all. Yes, that's it. Hey, tell me something. What feeling or emotion did that bring in you? Excitement, what? Happy, look at that smile. I tell you what, if you look into your wife's eyes with that smile, she's going to be like, There we go. He's all happy. He's all happy. Okay. That evoked a feeling, a sensation of happiness. Okay. Do another one for us.
I'm so tired of being here, suppressed by all my childish fears. And if you have to leave, I wish that you would just leave, 'cause your presence still lingers here, and it won't leave me alone. These wounds won't seem to heal. This pain is just too real. There's just too much that time cannot erase. When you cry,
what did that bring to you? Okay. Sadness. And for you? You're somewhat depressed. I hope you left your gun at home, right? You didn't bring it with. Just checking. All right, let's play another one. What did that do for you? Aggression. Headhunters. Hey, you're not taking steroids, are you? I'm just checking. So your aggression had nothing to do with something you sniffed or you injected or... Okay, no. Okay, let's look at this just quickly. When we started out, everybody was neutral. You were listening to a sermon. Then suddenly you jumped to happiness and joy. Immediately came crashing down to depression and heaviness and sadness, and then you wanted to knock somebody's block off. In a matter of 5 minutes, your emotions went all over the place. What was the only thing that changed? The music. What did the music do to you? It changed you. It changed your mood. It programmed you, whether you like it or not. Music has a much more powerful influence on you than you ever thought. And Satan is not stupid. He knows that music speaks to us. Therefore, he will use music to try and get to us. For those of you that were here last week, don't worry, I'm not going to do the whole sermon again, but I'm just going to do a quick foundation because we have a lot of people here tonight that was not here last week. Otherwise, they're not going to follow, and I want them to be able to follow. Now, taking it one step further, a very quick question. How many of you have ever gone to a church and you listened to a sermon and the pastor came up with something really amazing and you thought, oh man, I have to remember this. Oh, that was so good. I want to remember that scripture. Anybody? Okay, some of you don't go to churches where the pastor preaches good stuff. I'll pray for your pastor. Okay, maybe God will touch you. Now, halfway home, you're like, oh, what was that scripture again? It's gone. But then you're on your way to work one morning and they play some stupid song on the radio and for the rest of the day you can't get it out of your mind. Has that ever happened to you? Okay, now how does that work? The stuff we want to remember, we battle to remember. The stuff we actually want to get rid of, we can't get rid of. Why? Because of the way it's packaged. When it's packaged in music, it cuts deeper into us. The devil knows that and he will use that to his advantage. Now, there was a specific gentleman that I spoke about last week that I'm going to touch on very quickly because he is one of the reasons why the music industry has an enormous satanic influence. His name is Aleister Crowley. He's there. And Aleister Crowley was a gentleman, if I remember correctly, let me just check here. He was born in Warwickshire in England. He actually came from a religious home. His father was some minister from some church denomination, and he began to rebel against his father. He rebelled against the church, and in an act of rebellion, he actually marched out of his father's house and vowed not to have anything to do with religion ever again, which was a bit of a lie because, in a sense, he started his own religion not too long after that. He got involved in all sorts of weird stuff. In 1898, he joined the Secret Order of the Golden Dawn, which was an organization similar to Freemasonry, except women were also allowed, and he began to ascend. The problem with Aleister Crowley liked to be in charge, and he didn't like to have anybody tell him what to do. So he had a fallout with the people that ran this organization. He left them, and he went to do his own thing. He got into yoga, he got into Buddhism, and his involvement in Buddhism lasted until he had a very strange experience in Egypt. Apparently, he went to Egypt, and while he was in the desert, him and his wife were camped in a tent. His wife had never really experienced the occult, and she was curious. So she began to ask him questions about the occult. And he wanted to show her something in a satanic ritual to show her how the stuff works. And while this happened, she suddenly fell into a trance. He thought she was faking it. In this trance, a spirit began to speak to him through his wife. The spirit claimed that he was Horus, the Egyptian god of war, which is that Chocho that you see over there. Aleister Crowley, 100% convinced that his wife was faking this, began to ask, he said, okay, I'll play along. If you are really this god of war, I'm going to ask you some questions pertaining to the occult. If you can answer me, you are who you say you are. If you can't, you're my wife acting. He asked every question he asked, the thing answered him 100% correctly. He knew his wife had never been involved in this stuff. There was no way that she could know these things. And he realized that there was truly a spirit speaking to him. The demon told him that he would visit him for 3 days in a row, that he had to sit at a table with a pen and a paper, and that the demon would then communicate to him what message he had for the world. Aleister Crowley sat for 3 days at a table, and he would have this demon take possession of him. And some of you might know what this is. It's called automatic writing, when a demon takes possession of you and your hand just begins to write. This thing wrote through him for 3 days. Based on the information that the spirit gave him, Aleister Crowley later wrote a book. It was called The Book of War. Let's see there. You got the picture? The Book of the Law. Sorry, not The Book of War. The Book of the Law. All right, Aleister Crowley went on to use the principles taught to him by the spirit in the desert to start a newfound religion, to some extent called Crowleyism, in which he influenced an enormous amount of people. It is pretty much the front runner of today's modern day Satanism. All right, I'm not going to go into too much detail as to what they did. All I want to say to you is that this man had a pronounced effect on a lot of people in the 60s and in the 70s, and his teachings, his philosophies that came straight from the pit of hell because it was communicated by an evil spirit in the desert became the foundation for a lot of people that are very well known in the music industry today. Let's just quickly go through some of the people. There is Jimmy Page. Jimmy Page is a member of the band Led Zeppelin. Jimmy Page was so infatuated with Aleister Crowley that after Aleister Crowley's death, he went and bought the mansion that Crowley lived in. He wanted to stay there because of all the rituals that was done there. He wanted that residual power to come into him because he believed that it would give him more power. Apparently, it is also said that he performed some of Aleister Crowley's rituals on stage while they were performing in front of millions of listeners. The next person that we're going to look at is, it's a group. It's called The Beatles. The Beatles are very well known, and this album of theirs, the Sgt. Pepper album, is widely believed to have been the definitive album that changed the face of music worldwide. Asked in interviews, who are all these people surrounding the Beatles? All four of the Beatles confirmed that these are the people that they admire, these are the people that they looked up to, and these are the people that inspired their music. Right on the left is Aleister Crowley, the father of modern-day Satanism. Let me give you one or two quotes
from the Beatles. John Lennon was asked about the whole idea of the Beatles, and he says, the whole idea of the Beatles was to do what we want. To take your own responsibility, to do what you want, to try not to harm others, yes, to do as thou willst. Aleister Crowley's slogan that he lived his life by is, do as thou willst. When asked what was the idea behind the Beatles, John Lennon used Aleister Crowley's words, he says, to do as we willst. The Beatles press officer, Derek Taylor, said the following of the Beatles. He said, oh, they are completely antichrist. I mean, I am antichrist as well, but they are so antichrist that they shock me, which is not easy to do. That comes from the Saturday Evening Post, the 8th of August. Paul McCartney said, we probably seem to be anti-religious, well, none of us believe in God. Comes from the Hit Parade magazine, January 1970. John Lennon made the following statement. He said, Christianity will go, it will shrink. I need not argue about that. I am right. And I will be proven right. We are more popular than Jesus now. Yes, and he died. Very soon after he made that statement. That comes from the San Francisco Chronicle, April the 13th, 1966. Then we have Ozzy Osbourne. Ozzy Osbourne claimed that a lot of his songs, the ideas for the songs came from Aleister Crowley, which in his own words he said was a really peculiar dude. Well, that's coming from somebody looking like that, you know. Apparently, Aleister Crowley was an inspiration in his life. And then we have David Bowie. Okay, last week we came up to there. Now we're going to go on with these people. David Bowie wrote a song entitled Quicksand on his album Hunky, which refers to Crowley and the life of Crowley. David Bowie often paid tribute to Aleister Crowley as one of the greatest influences in his life and his musical career. Then we have another band very well known, Iron Maiden. The lead singer of Iron Maiden is a man by the name of Bruce Dickinson. And when asked about their band, about the things that they sing about, he said this. He said in the book, in the Circus magazine, 31st of August, 1984, he made the following statement. He said, yes, we refer to things like tarots and the ideas of Aleister Crowley. In other words, they encompass Aleister Crowley's philosophies and ideas in their songs. Aleister Crowley is mentioned in their song Moonchild and Seventh Son of a Seventh Son. Bruce Dickinson produced a film about the godfather of modern Satanism, Aleister Crowley. It was released in 2008. Bruce Dickinson was reported to have been working on this idea for 12 years because he wanted to pay tribute to Aleister Crowley, a man that inspired his life. And in an interview with the BBC, Bruce Dickinson said the following. I started getting into Aleister Crowley when I was 15 years old. He was the first rock star. We bring Crowley back for 3 days, just like Jesus Christ, only better. Get your devil horns ready now. Iron Maiden travel in a plane that they own. It is their own personal jet. And the name on the plane, the front of the plane, says The Beast 666. Here are some of their album covers. Some of you know this. You've probably seen this before. Well, go to the next one. There we go. Oh, that tells you exactly who's behind them, the number of the beast. Let's do the next one. And there you see what exactly they want must happen. You know what? You don't have to be very spirit-filled or very religious or anything to understand that these people are evil. Yes. Well, let's be very honest. They make it very clear what their belief system is. They make it very clear that they believe in the beast. They make it very clear that they follow the ideals, the ideology of a man that was pretty much known to be the father of modern day Satanism, the antichrist of his era, Aleister Crowley. Is that just a joke? No, it's not a joke. There's something very real behind it. The next group that we're going to look at that was influenced is Hall & Oates. If you take a look there, there's Daryl Hall of Hall & Oates. And Daryl Hall in an interview said the following. He said, I became fascinated with Aleister Crowley, the 19th century British magician who shared my beliefs. I was fascinated by him because his personality was the latter day 19th century equivalent of my own. A person brought up in a conventionally religious family who did everything he could to outrage people around him and himself. The next person we're going to look at is Marilyn Manson. A lot of you know him, and some of you have heard some of his music. Probably you know him better because he just likes to make a lot of nonsense. Again, is he doing this just for sensational value, or is there something much more sinister and evil behind it? Well, you know, a lot of the rock stars out there, they do like sensationalism. They do like to be in your face, but we have to understand that there is a power behind this, a very intelligent power behind this. And like the auntie said just now, sometimes we have this thing that, it's just a picture. It's just that, no, it's not. There's a message behind it. Marilyn grew up on the teachings of Aleister Crowley and a man by the name of Anton LaVey. There is Aleister Crowley standing next to Anton LaVey. For those of you that don't know who Anton LaVey is, Anton LaVey is the father of modern day Satanism. He is also the originator of the Church of Satan. He registered the Church of Satan in the United States of America. Marilyn Manson says, I knew I wanted to be like Nietzsche or Aleister Crowley, men who have in their own way drawn people closer to the apocalypse. He also said, hopefully I will be remembered as the person who brought an end to Christianity. Spin Magazine, August 1996, page 34. Marilyn Manson's real name is Brian Warner. Marilyn Manson is a combination of Marilyn Monroe and Charles Manson. And for those of you who are old enough will know that Charles Manson is an infamous mass murderer. Manson is also a reverend in the Church of Satan, a title given to him personally by Anton LaVey. Marilyn Manson uses his concerts as a means to preach the message of Satan to thousands of young people. He also destroys Bibles during his concert and gets young people to curse God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. He then has them invite Satan into their lives. Just go one back. There is a picture of him tearing a Bible to pieces as he blasphemes God openly at one of his concerts. And there is a whole bunch of young people giving the satanic salute, accepting Satan into their lives at one of his concerts. Manson tells kids that hell is a great place and that they mustn't fear hell. He says it is one great party for all of eternity with all the drugs and sex that you can ever want. He tells them to escape the pressures of this world by committing suicide. He openly propagates suicide as an answer to kids' problems. And let me tell you something. If you've spent about half an hour listening to his music, that's the only thing you want to do is commit suicide. It's just the way it is. You know, one thing about people like Marilyn Manson, he's very quick to tell people to commit suicide, but he doesn't lead by example. Yeah, Satan is the same. You're right. Marilyn Manson often takes the cross of Jesus and defecates on it while on stage. For you that don't know what defecate is, he craps on it. Marilyn Manson has often urinated on pictures of Jesus during his concerts. He has encouraged teenagers in the audience to commit acts of sodomy and lesbianism, and his band members drink his urine, and he urinates on the crowd during his concerts. The next picture is not suitable for children's eyes, so divert their eyes somewhere else. Just show that one quickly. That is on one of his album covers. That is band members drinking his urine on stage. Okay, go to another one. Thank you. Let's not stay there. No, they need to know. Yeah, but we're not talking about the 3 and the 4 year olds. Yeah. But the young people, yes, they have to. Okay, Marilyn Manson was blamed for the Columbine killings in 1999 when two young men, one named Eric Harris and another one named Dylan Klebold, walked into a school in the United States with guns drawn. They started blasting away at everything in sight. They killed 12 students. They wounded 21 others. It is said that the two boys were both followers of Marilyn Manson and that they ran down the halls while they were shooting, screaming, "Marilyn Manson rules," as they killed their classmates. Here is the lyrics of one of Marilyn Manson's songs. The song is entitled "Kill, Kill, Kill." The lyrics go like this: "I don't know what is wrong with me. The person I used to know and love is no longer me. Maybe it is my gun. Every time I look at it, it says, shoot me, shoot me, shoot me. I believe it has me under its spell, a spell that will soon take me to hell. I threw it away once, but it came back the next day and shot me in the leg and said, if, and then it rhymes with duck, you. About a week later, I tried to get rid of it again by burning it, but the next day it came back and blew my right hand off and said, if you ever F with me again, I'm going to kill, kill, kill. I'm going to kill, kill, kill." Okay. Well, he's not a very good poet, but his message does get out there. He wasn't really shot. It's just a song. Marilyn Manson said the following. He said, listen to this. This is a very important quote to know. "I don't know if anyone has actually really understood what we are trying to do. This is not just about shock value. That's just there to lure the people in. Once we have got them, we give them our message." He gives it to you straight. You people laugh at me. You think I'm an idiot, but I'm getting your kids to come and I'm preaching my word to them and they listen. And that's exactly what he's doing. And this takes me back to a quote that I want to quickly give you from Jimi Hendrix. Just put on slide 13 quickly for me. Jimi Hendrix made the following statement. He said, "Atmospheres are going to come through music because music is a spiritual thing on its own. You can hypnotize people with music. And when you get people at their weakest point, you can preach into their subconscious whatever you want to say." Why did those young people go into that school and kill, kill, kill? Because that's what was preached into their ears. Kill, kill, kill. Is everybody susceptible to it? Maybe some people are much more susceptible to it than others, because when the roaring lion comes, he preys on weakness. And unfortunately, there are people that have certain weaknesses out there, but one thing both Jimi Hendrix and Marilyn Manson agree on, they preach to people when they sing. And it influences people. And some people take the exact things that they say and go and put it into practice. Marilyn Manson was asked what was his motivation for Antichrist Superstar. And he said the following. It's one of his stupid albums. He says, "I think every time people listen to this album, maybe God will be destroyed in their heads." That was his motivation for that album. Here's my question. If his motivation for that album is that, where did that motivation come from? Well, there is only one person that wants God to be destroyed in the lives of people, and that is Satan. He publicly preaches Satan's message. Who is speaking through him? Satan. You want to tell me Satan doesn't work through his music? He does. To great effect. The next band we're going to look at is a band called The Doors. Jim Morrison, one of the founding members of The Doors and the front singer for the lead singer for The Doors, died mysteriously on the 3rd of July, 1971. Most people might not be aware of it, but Jim Morrison was heavily involved in the occult. Morrison and his wife married in a Wiccan ceremony. They didn't marry in front of a minister of God. They married in front of a pagan minister of Satan. They married in a Wiccan ceremony, standing in a pentagram, drinking each other's blood. Oh, yes. They produced a cover entitled 13. There's the front cover. There is an enlarged picture of the cover. And the group are pictured standing around a bust of
Aleister Crowley.
Ray Manzarek of The Doors made the following statement about Jim Morrison. He says, "He was not a performer. He was not an entertainer. He was not a showman. He was a shaman. He was possessed." In an interview, he said, when Morrison went on to the stage, something possessed him, and what came out of him was not normal. Even the people around him could see that miles and miles away. The next band is the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Yeah, what a bunch of idiots. John Frusciante of the Peppers is a great admirer of Aleister Crowley. They sing a song entitled 666. I'm around emptiness and look on, and all of these were inspired by Aleister Crowley. At the 1992 MTV Music Awards, they started their acceptance speech as follows. First of all, we would like to thank Satan. The next band that we're going to look at is the Rolling Stones. The Rolling Stones composed the soundtrack for the Crowley-inspired film entitled The Invocation of My Demon Brother. The Stones sing a song titled Sympathy for the Devil, which is seen as the official anthem of the Church of Satan. Mick Jagger has said of Anton LaVey, the founder of the Church of Satan, that he was one of the greatest inspirations for many of their songs. They also brought out an album entitled The Satanic Majesty's Request. Then we have another band called The Eagles. They wrote one of the most popular rock songs of all time. You all know it. You've all heard it. Sometime you were drunk in a pub singing along to it. It's entitled Hotel. You used to love them. I'll pray for you later. The name of the song is Hotel California. Now I'm going to tell you a couple of things about that song that you did not know. Probably it's going to freak your mind. Most people have no idea that the song really refers to the Church of Satan, which is in an old converted hotel on California Street. On their album cover, Anton LaVey, the founder of the Satanic Church, is pictured looking down on the hotel. Just click over to the next one. That is the cover of the album on which you hear the soundtrack Hotel California. There is the back of the same album. And then if you look, you can't see it so lacquer there, but in the, do you see there? Okay, just go back. Yeah, just to the next, the other one. Where's the other one? That one. All right. That's Anton LaVey. You can't see it so lacquer here because it doesn't scan so lacquer, but right there in the corner is Anton LaVey looking down on them, because that is the headquarters of the Church of Satan. Well, he is the snake. The snake has a snake with him. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." The Bible clearly warns us to be watchful, to be alert, to be sober-minded. I want to explain something. When it says be sober, be vigilant, it's not necessarily referring to the fact that you should not drink. One should sometimes think soberly about things. And I think that's very important, because sometimes when you try to talk to people about these things, they immediately like, "Ah, that's rubbish. It can't work like that. Ah, God will never allow this stuff." Hey, stop right there. Think sober. There's a lot of truth to these things. You weet, in Afrikaans sê hulle, waar daar 'n rookie is, is daar 'n vuurtjie. Where there's smoke, there's fire. And you know what? When you look at the music industry, Satan is very busy in the music industry right now. And a lot of the bands that have achieved massive cult followings and status did not do it because of their musical talent. They did it because of something working with them, sucking people in, bringing destruction into people's lives. And a lot of them sold their souls to Satan. You might not know it, but they know it, and Satan knows it, and he works through them, and he gives them cult status. We're going to get to her a bit later. We will. Don't worry. We will. Psalm 22 verse 3 says, "Be thou holy, O God." Sorry. "Be thou holy, O thou that inhabits the praises of Israel."
It basically says God is holy, the Spirit of God is holy that inhabits the praises of His people. Now, listen to this. Here we see that the Spirit of God inhabits the praises of God's people. In other words, when God's people worship God through the music, the Spirit of God begins to move. Now, the Bible proves to us that a spirit can inhabit music. Now, what makes you think that it is only the Holy Spirit that can inhabit music? If the Holy Spirit can inhabit music, then evil spirits can inhabit music, because it's still music, it's still a spirit. The one is just good and the one is bad. But this is a very important principle that we have to understand. Music is a channel for spirits. Music can channel the Spirit of God, but music can also channel evil spirits. It can channel the spirit of depression. It can channel the spirit of anger. It can channel the spirit of violence. It can channel the spirit of destruction. It can channel the spirit of lust. It can channel all sorts of things. But don't you say that the devil cannot use music, because the Bible makes it clear that a spirit can inhabit music. Many demons inhabit music. Last week, I shared with you that I was working with a young lady for about a year. And she was deeply involved in the occult. She was involved in Satanism. And she used to, as I took her through a process of deliverance, we had to deal with many different demons that came into her life. The one day, she came walking into my office with a CD. It was a music CD. And I said to her, and now on the CD, she said, I brought this with because every time I play the CD, strange things happen. I said, like what? She says, well, the moment it begins to play, I go into a trance. And she wasn't joking. This actually happened. The moment that music played, she went into a trance. And then she said to me, many times when she used to go to clubs and to raves, when certain types of music played, she would go into the same trance. And when she comes out of the trance, 9 times out of 10, she ends up in prison somewhere. Because she just assaulted somebody, tried to murder somebody, tried to kill somebody, or pulled all her clothes off on the dance floor, or did stupid things. But she was not under control of herself when these things happened. Something through the music triggered something to happen to her. And it happened. And we had to cast a couple of spirits out of her that all worked through music in her. Now here's the question. Is she the only one that got influenced by those things? Yes, my question. How many times do you go to a club and there's fights that happen for just about nothing? We would normally attribute it to the alcohol. But I want to tell you something. It is not just attributed to the alcohol. It is attributed to the spirit that moves with the type of music that is playing. Why is there so much lust that sometimes manifests itself at these places? Again, you can say, oh, it's because of the alcohol. No. Many times it's because of the spirit that's beginning to move through certain types of music. Can the devil inhabit music? Yes, he can. Once again, this proves how careful we must be with what we listen to and what we sing along with. And this is also why certain types of songs have such a powerful effect on people. Okay, Eddie, I'm going to skip the following. I'm going to do that next week. I want to get to this. For many years, there have been rumors and allegations of hidden messages in many rock songs. In other words, subliminal messaging. Now, you know what? That does sound like the stuff of fairy tales and nightmares. Or what you're talking about? I'm listening to the song and something is preaching to me, or something is coming into me that I'm not aware of. Before we take a look at any of the songs where we find examples thereof, let's first look back to a man that we kind of like been looking at ever since we started this, the man Aleister Crowley. Crowley wrote a book entitled Magic, Theory and Practice. And in this book, he taught on a concept that he explained as the law of reversal. Those who want fame, who want power, who want spell casting abilities, who want demons to listen to them and do what they tell them to do, and want to recognize the Godhead inside of them, as well as those who want to know the past, the present, and the future, he extolled
to his apt students must consistently, with intensity, practice talking reverse speech. If you want to control the supernatural, his teaching was do everything backwards. Where did he get this from? A demon communicated these things to him in the desert, speaking through his wife. Okay. This is still one of the major doctrines of Satanism. It is also one of the first things any young person getting involved with in Satanism will begin to display. They start talking backwards, they start writing backwards, they start doing everything backwards. In many satanic churches, they will recite the Lord's Prayer, but with one big difference, they will do it backwards. Instead of Amen, they will say Nima, and then recite the whole prayer backwards, speaking the words from back to front, starting from back, going all the way to front. There are seriously divided views on backmasking in today's music. Although it cannot be argued that it does not exist, scientists are divided in their beliefs as to whether it will actually affect the person listening to the song. Now you see, that is where the problem lies. Scientists want everything to make sense. Spiritual things don't have to make sense. They just are. You know what, there's a lot of you might have this thing, God doesn't really make sense. Well, God might not make sense to you, but that doesn't mean that he doesn't exist. His name is I Am. He is. Finished law. Deal with it. It's spiritual. And spiritual things have a lot more power than physical things. So your scientific mind might not wrap around it so lacquer, but your spirit understands it very clearly. Even though your mind might be unaware of what's coming through the music, your spirit opens up to receive it, and that's where the problems begin. If demons are being summoned through a backward message playing in a song, they are not interested whether the listener believes in them or not. They are called by the song, and they come. And once they come, they start doing something to the person sitting there listening to it. Now, let's take a good look at a couple of these songs and see for ourselves whether these things are real or not. We're going to go back to a band that we spoke about earlier. The band's name is Led Zeppelin. They wrote a song that's very widely played, very, very well known, and is generally regarded as the most popular rock song in rock history. According to the Radio Trade magazine, Monday Morning Replay, this song is still currently the most played song in America and in the world. It is still being played 4,203 times a year by the 67 largest radio stations in the USA, which works out to about twice a day on average. And this song first aired in 1971. One of the lyrics of the song is, you know, sometimes words can have two meanings. Well, they were not lying. Because their song also contains a hidden satanic message. Now, those are the lyrics that we're going to look at. If there's a bustle in your hedgerow, don't be alarmed now. It's just a spring clean for the May Queen. Yes, there are two paths you can go by. But in the long run, there is still time to change the road you are on. Play it for us.
If there's a bustle in your hedgerow, don't be alarmed. It's just a sprinkly for the May Queen. Yes, there are two paths you can go by, but in the long run, there's still time to change the road.
Okay, pause it there for me. Before I play it to you backwards, let me give you a couple of interesting facts about this song. The lyrics of this song is not a coincidence. Robert Plant of Led Zeppelin has often remarked that some of the band's lyrics came to them in a very supernatural way. Here is a quote from Plant on how Stairway to Heaven came about. I was just sitting there with Pagey in front of the fire at Headley Grange. Pagey had written the chords and played them for me. I was holding a paper and a pencil, and for some reason I was in a very bad mood. Then, all of a sudden, my hand was writing out words. There's a lady for sure. All that glitters is gold. And she's buying a stairway to heaven. I just sat there and looked at these words, and then I almost leapt out of my seat. He, Robert Plant, often remarked that he could feel his pen being pushed by some higher power. Comes in an interview with Stephen Davis in The Hammer of the Gods. So here's what he says. He says he was sitting there and the other guy was stringing some chords and he began to get in a really, really ugly mood and he didn't understand why. And then while the guy was strumming the chords, his hand began to write automatically. Where did we hear that before? Aleister Crowley. But who did these people have an infatuation with? Aleister Crowley. What spirit was writing the song Stairway to Heaven? The same spirit that appeared to Aleister Crowley and wrote through him in the desert. Now, I want you to take into account that this song did not come from a human mind. This song came from the originator of Aleister Crowley's Church of Satan, which is who? It's Satan. And what do we know about him? He is perfect in wisdom. Does he know exactly how to put things together so that when you turn them around, they're going to give a message? Yes, he does, because he's much cleverer than us. You take the best computers today, you link them all together, and you can't cause this. It's impossible, but not for Satan. Play it backwards for us. That I know that's maybe not that clear, but I'm going to play it to you again. There's the words. Listen carefully. You're going to get it. Listen to it. Just take it a bit down. Can you hear it? Can you follow it? It's there. So these lyrics are no coincidence. Because these lyrics came through an evil spirit that is very, very clever. I'm going to share with you a story. I was preaching this series a couple of years ago in the very far south, in, where was it? Funabel Park. And there was a young man that attended that one night, and he came to me afterwards and he shared with me a story of what happened to him through a specific song. I'm going to share with you his story. His name was George, and he was a young man that was involved in the drug scene for a number of years. He was completely addicted to cocaine and heroin. By that time, God had already helped him to come out of it to a large extent. And I've met him about, let's say, 10 years ago at one of our meetings. At first, he could not even sit still through an entire meeting. The demons in him would cause him to become violently sick and extremely irritable in a very short period of time. Many times, he would kick chairs around, start freaking out and storm out. And, you know, we had a lot of fun and games with him. But mostly he would simply just get up and leave during the sermons. It took a long time of prayer and, you know, ministering to him to get him to actually sit through an entire sermon. And the first time I tried to lead him through a sinner's prayer, the demons in him would shut his mouth, but to such an extent that you could hear his teeth grind and he could not open his mouth to speak. Finally, with a great amount of prayer and a lot of perseverance and difficulty, he managed to pray and he accepted Jesus into his life. The process of getting him delivered from all these demons started immediately with the demons often manifesting quite violently. Sometimes it took like 5 or 6 people to pin him down on the floor. And then one of the demons spoke through him and said that they would take his life before the end of the year 2010. This, of course, simply led to the demon being cast out, but there was obviously a lot more work that needed to be done. The last time that we prayed for him, a demon surfaced and it called himself Torment, and it declared that it would not leave him as he still had to be tormented quite a lot. The demon of torment was obviously linked to unforgiveness because he still needed to forgive himself for some of the things that he did, and he had 1 or 2 other people that he still needed to forgive, and he needed to forgive God. Again, it was quite a struggle. The demon shut his mouth. It hurt him. It gave him all sorts of agony, tried to stop him from speaking. But Jesus did have mercy on George, and eventually George got delivered. He forgave the people, and the power of God came upon him. It took about an hour for the demon to leave through a series of spasms, contractions, vomiting, coughing, the whole toot. It was also clear that his body began to show a lot of signs of going through the symptoms of withdrawal. George related to me afterwards that he hadn't eaten anything for 4 days in a row, yet he had vomited solids and that his mouth tasted of drugs, even though he hadn't used any drugs in months. God started cleaning his system. The drugs began to come out of him. The solids were drug residue that the demon had kept inside of him, and it gave the demon power to bring destruction into his life. Now, I want to get to the part that fits in with this music. George related to me that he was very irritable the whole time that I spoke about Satan's influence in music. In fact, he said that this was the most aggressive that he had ever felt towards me. Now, he always felt aggressive towards me. He always wanted to knock my block off. Let's just put it that way. But he said during this specific series, he could not contain the hatred that was coming through him towards me. He said it was like what I was talking about now irritated the demons in him 1,000 times more than any of the other sermons that I had ever preached, which was interesting to me, very interesting. He then proceeded to tell me that he had tried to commit suicide on 10 different occasions. Now, I want to put it out there. Some people try to commit suicide just to get attention. George didn't try to commit suicide to get attention. He tried to kill himself. He once jumped off a bridge in Cape Town in front of an oncoming truck and woke up in a coma 3 months later. So we know he wasn't fooling around. What is quite scary, however, was that every time that he tried to commit suicide, the same song was playing. He actually still had the song on his phone, and he gave it to me to listen to. I'm going to just pray over everybody quick before we do pray this song. Lord, I thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for the blood of the Lamb, and I bring every person here before you now, Lord. The reason we're playing this song is not to influence people in an ungodly way, but to teach them. And I thank you, Spirit of God, that your protection is with us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. All right. The song that was playing, listen to me carefully, tried to commit suicide 10 times. Every single time he tried to commit suicide, the same song was playing. Now, what was the influence the song had on him? The spirit of death came through the song. Okay. He actually still had the song on his phone. He gave it to me to listen to. It is a rave song, and it is called Acid Fighter. And it is simply a song about drug abuse. Now, I'm going to play you a sample of the song. Here's how the song goes. Okay. That's the song forward. You might not necessarily pick up anything funny or anything weird about it, and you might actually think to yourself, the beat's actually not too bad. Now, let me play you the lyrics.
Acid. Fighter.
Acid.
acid. Fight on.
Okay. I think most of you know exactly what acid is. It's a type of a drug. So the whole song is simply made up of the lyrics acid and fight them. Acid and fight them. The other feature of the song is the sound of a drop falling into water. Now, I would never have known this, I would never have understood this, but George had been part of the drug culture for 10 years. He was deeply involved in it and he understood a lot of things that I did not, which he then explained to me. George explained the significance of the drop to me from a drug culture perspective. According to him, due to the frequent use of drugs like cocaine and heroin, which is what he used to use, a drug addict's body begins to form pure drug crystals at the base of the spine, which is the coccyx. I think we've got a, yes, there. Okay, that's your coccyx. And through years of constant drug abuse, at the base of the spine will become a crystallized concentration of pure cocaine or heroin. These crystals can remain in the body for many years, and even after the person has stopped using, it will still be present. Eventually, they will turn back into liquid form like a drop and be taken back into the bloodstream as 100% pure cocaine or heroin. The effect of this is apparently extreme, and it is much worse than injecting yourself with regular drugs. The effect on the person can be extremely destructive. Now, the drop falling is, that's what the significance is behind it. It is playing on that reality that takes place. George has seen an x-ray of his spine, and he says that the drop of crystallized drugs was clearly visible at the base of his spine in the x-rays. Now, I'm going to play you Acid Fighters lyrics backwards.
This is.
Could you hear it? It's like a voice speaking and the command is descend, descend, descend. If you hear that word descend, what is it saying to you? Come down. I'm pulling you in. The pit of hell is sucking you in. Come. I'm ready for you. If we reverse the only two lyrics that are found during the song, it sounds pretty like much like a command to descend. From a spiritual point of view, this can only be interpreted as a command to enter the depths of hell. What happened to him during the playing of the song? 10 times he tried to take his life. 10 times his spirit opened up and obeyed the command, descend. To how many people has the same thing happened? I don't know. Yeah, I encountered one. I promise you, there were many, many, many others that experienced the same thing. This would fit in with George's 10 suicide attempts. Okay. Let's look at the Eagles. The Eagles had a smash hit with their song Hotel California. Now, we have already seen that the Church of Satan was located in an old hotel on California Street. Also, the lyrics include, "We haven't had that spirit here since 1969. Some of you know the song, and you know that those lyrics are part of the song. Now, those are not just lyrics. There is a very, very solid reason why those lyrics are in the song. Because it refers to the Holy Spirit. They are saying, we have not had the Holy Spirit here since 1969. Because the Holy Spirit, who is now absent, 1969 was the year that Anton LaVey released the Satanic Bible. 1969 to them is the year the Holy Spirit ceased to be and the spirit of Satan became the spirit to follow. On the back of the cover, you can see the band standing outside the building and a bald-headed man looking down out of the top of the windows in the shadows. If you take a look, there we are again. You can see it in the back there. I know it's not that clear. Can we switch off the lights quickly? Just quickly, let's just see what it does. All right. There you can see it more clearer. If you see the actual album, you can clearly see the person standing there in the corner. And if you take a look at that very carefully,
that is a blow up of it. Look at the eyes, look at the bald head. There he is. It's Anton LaVey. Thank you. If you can just put the Eagles manager, Larry Salter, admitted in the Waco Tribune Herald of the 28th of February 1982 that the Eagles were in fact involved and worshipped at the Church of Satan. Just play it forward. That's the lyrics forward. Turn them around for us. Okay, do you want me to play it again? Play it again. All right, Satan, he hears this. He had me believe. Well, they do believe in Satan. Okay. It's shocking, but it's true. It's shocking, but it's true. Let's quickly go to number 57. Go to number 57. One of Britney Spears. Okay. Britney Spears sang a song one more time. Play it forward. Okay. Sounds like a very innocent song, but when you turn it around, this is what you hear. Did you hear that? Sleep with me, I'm not too young. I want to ask you a question, Daddy. Is that what you want your daughter to manifest? I don't think so. Is there rubbish that comes through music? Yes, there is. Is it spiritual? Yes, it is. Can it control you? Yes, it can. Should you know something about it? Yes, you should. Let's just make one thing very clear again. I'm not standing here trying to tell you that you have to burn every CD that you got, that you have to break all your LPs, that you have to pull out all of your tapes, and that you must never listen to the radio again, because that would be just plain ludicrous. There's good music out there. There's very good music out there, but you do need to understand the principle that God wants you to understand. There's also some bad stuff out there. Educate yourself and stay away from the rubbish. Okay. This is a series. Yeah, this series is going to last about 6 weeks, roughly. Today is the second in the 6 weeks. So I'm inviting you. Keep coming. You're going to learn a lot. You're going to hear a lot of things. Your eyes are going to open to a lot of things. And what I want you to understand is the principle that there's bad things out there. And probably you're going to learn a lot of things about the music industry that you did not know. And it is for the purpose of you protecting yourself, protecting your family, and protecting your children from what is actually out there. Music at its heart, music in its essence, is good because it was given by God to man. But unfortunately, Satan also has a lot of power through it. And he corrupts a lot of people through his type of music. The purpose at heart of all music is worship to God. That doesn't mean that you can't listen to secular music. There's a lot of secular music. Remember, only God can give the gift. If somebody has a gift of music, it came from God, not Satan. But Satan will take a true gift, pervert it for his purpose, and then use it to bring destruction. And that's what we do have to understand, and we have to be careful of that. Did anybody learn something tonight? Give the Lord a big hand. All right. Next week, we'll do part 3.